Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
Unfortunately, some of it's not all accurate, because you initiate a phone call, which actually was a text, but that's okay. I mean, I'm not here to debate. This isn't about me, it's about Ms. Molinaro's employment with the city of Milton.
Councilman Cusack, are you saying that the records you provided the city are inaccurate?
I provided you a copy of the text, right? and the phone calls, right?
Yes, sir, and your phone call records indicate that you initiated a phone call to Mr. Collins at 4 p.m. and he returned your call at 6 p.m.
It was a text.
No, you provided a phone call log and a text log.
To you? I'll have to review it again.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. I'm just... I think it might have been a voicemail.
Yes, sir. It indicates that you left a voicemail to Mr. Collins at 4 p.m. and he returned your phone call at 6 p.m.
Okay.
Wait for it.
Whatever.
I don't know if you could hear it right at the end. Mike Cusack's answer to Alex's very carefully reasoned response to his misstatement that he never called Scott Collins, which he did, according to the call logs he provided to the city, still haven't been provided to me, but I know that they were in the report that Alex did. And so his answer when Alex gives him the facts is...
Whatever.
Whatever. Oh, but... There's another one coming, because this is a theme last night. Mike Cusack didn't like what was going on, and when Alex would give him a refutation of all of the things that he said that were inaccurate, his answer is, oh, whatever. Which is, you know, you say whatever when you've lost. You say whatever because you don't have anything other substantial to say, which is what you'd say otherwise. So anyway, over this whole issue of whether Don Molinaro, the city clerk in Milton, was going to be kept or let go the second time this was brought up within a week. They had a special meeting last week about it, which was in the middle of the other meeting or at the end of the other meeting. But in any case, this was actually an agenda item added to the agenda last night. Early on, I think. I didn't get to hear that part because the audio was screwy on the meeting. But anyway, Alex, of course, wrote this report based on the complaint from Ed Spears, the economic development director. Anyway, one of the criticisms of Alex is that in writing this report, he didn't interview people like Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow and Heather Lindsay or Don Molinaro to get their side of the story. Well, there's a reason he didn't. Here, listen.
The only person you have talked to, I assume, is Mr. Spears and Mr. Jorgensen?
No, sir. I spoke to several employees of the city, as well as Ken Garner. I also based my investigation, provided exhibits based on email interactions I had with Ms. Molinaro and Mayor Lindsay. And the vast majority of this is backed up by 88 pages worth of exhibits. Those are documents that are verifiable and authentic. If you're concerned that I did not contact you...
No, I'm not saying.
Councilman Cusack, I did make an effort to contact every member of council on Friday. You did receive a call from me on Friday.
I didn't talk to you on Friday.
You didn't. You didn't return my call.
Oh.
Whatever.
So he's angry. Yes. So this is literally back-to-back clips, okay? This happened within the space of a minute in the meeting. He's angry at Alex because, you know, Alex controverted his claim about the calls to Scott Collins. In fact, but the controversy was based on his own submitted record of his call logs, whatever. And then he says, well, why didn't you call people like the mayor and me and Don Molinaro? And he says, Councilman, I did call you on Friday. You didn't answer. Oh, well, whatever. And then the Mayor Lindsay, same thing. She's like, you didn't call me.
I think that when you're doing something like this, you should be talking to more than just one side of the equation. Don't you believe so?
And that's what my report indicates it did, sir.
Yeah, he did talk to a bunch of people. And the people he tried to talk to who you're complaining about didn't reply.
So you spoke with the mayor and you spoke with
He didn't speak to
Ms. Molinaro directly, correct?
No, I attempted to contact the mayor several times, but she hasn't returned my calls either.
Not this week, sir.
Did you talk to Ms. Molinaro?
Yes, ma'am.
To get her side of all of this?
No, sir.
Do you think that should have happened?
If there were any questions that I need to verify by Ms. Molinaro, I would have. However, the documentary evidence stands for itself.
And he did send her a copy of the preliminary report before he published it to City Council on Thursday, before he published it on Friday. And not published, but before he sent it to them on Friday. So, you know, he tried. But then there's this.
It is very credible that Ms. Molinaro knowingly engaged in activities she knew were fireable offenses, including her own words and email transcripts stating, "I know I'm exceeding my authority as a clerk. If the council would like to fire me, so be it. You know, if they want to fire me for their ethics, it says more about them than it does about me." She stated those, you know, statements of her intent multiple times. And it is a sincere concern that Ms. Molinaro does not believe defaming two sitting city council members, a co-worker's spouse, a county commissioner, was ordained and directed by God. That is a concern.
Yeah, and recirculating what he's talking about there is that bizarre allegation about the, you know, the confrontation in the parking lot between Jeff Snow and Scott Collins with Commissioner Calkins in tow, which was a giant nothing. So, yeah, now there was an argument raised against Alex, one that he's involved in all this because in all the emails, therefore he shouldn't have been doing the investigation. He got told to do it by the city manager. There is a provision in city policy to allow him to do that, and it was an expeditious thing because, you know, there's time constraints involved with somebody who is allegedly creating a hostile work environment and exceeding her authority and doing things that are inappropriate for an employee of the city to do. Well, that puts the city in a weird legal position liability-wise, which is his job to protect the city. So he tried to get this done quickly. By the way, it was also funny. Mike Cusack started along this line of complaining about how much this cost because they pay Alex by the hour. Okay. How much did this cost the city? Well, he said it took him about 6.5 hours. And then the turnaround is he's complaining, well, why didn't you spend more time on it? Well, which is it? You know, you cannot have this both ways. There's another piece of this I want to get to in a second. But before that, Candy's got traffic for you.
I have my own music bed. All right. Hold on.
Never mind.
Oh, it's like whatever. Okay. Nice. I got you.
Stop. Okay, never mind. That did not go. There's a song called Whatever by Liam Lynch, and I'm sorry. The roads are fine. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can certainly let us know, but I'm not showing any accidents right now. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, whatever.
And whatever. It's just, you know, it's just, it's whatever.
Whatever.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you know, and thinking about genuinely, like you're not sure, this is the time to call Christina Leavenworth, because before you get committed to doing something that might actually not be the best decision for you, your circumstance, your values, call her and get her opinion. And she'll give you her honest opinion. She's talked people out of selling. She's talked people out of buying because sometimes it's not the right choice. And she will just listen to you, think about the situation, and give you her best advice. She certainly knows, with 230 homes sold last year, how to sell effectively at or above list price is a very common thing to have happen. And buying, same thing, negotiating even on new sales, you know, new home construction. But understanding what the seller's point of view is, therefore understanding how to work in order to get a deal from the seller. Like, she's just great at that stuff. So if you're thinking about it, and she loves to talk to people who are just in that phase, just kind of wondering what to do, give her a call, 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. All right. God, I want to play more of this. I just don't have time to do it all. Sandy Woodbury is, I think technically she's the grants director. She's the grant writer, okay, for the city of Milton. But I'm not sure if she's the grants director. She's the woman that got the, like, and her staff, she would say, but most personally responsible for getting the, I think it's like $50 million for the wastewater treatment plant. Like, she is a rock star. Like, any municipal government would kill to have somebody this effective working for them. And the Pitchfork Posse was, like, trying to get rid of her, too. Like, anything they can to stop the wastewater treatment plant, okay? And so she came for, and she is just a sweet, just wonderful. You'll hear it in her voice. She came in the meeting last night and talked about how the atmosphere at City Hall is terrible, and this is bad. We need to fix this.
Sandra Woodbury, grants manager, city staff. Do you want to know what we've been through? Okay. Non-negotiable for my work environment. There must be an intolerance for for disrespectful behavior towards others, period, by anyone. I don't care what your title is.
And then she talks about all the money that's coming in, like I said, in the $60 million vicinity, both with the wastewater treatment plant grants and other grants they're already working on. And she just says,
I'm shocked. I'm appalled at what has occurred. I am both a friend of everyone involved. They're my colleagues. And I can tell you, without a shadow of a doubt, I would support your attorney's recommendation and I would terminate Dawn Molinaro. She did not conduct herself that was respectful to her fellow staff.
Wow. I mean, when somebody like Sandy has that to say, that's really bad.
I know in her heart she thought she was doing right, but she disrespected another colleague. And I can tell you, I do believe, I'm speaking for myself, but I do believe that the bulk of the employees support what I'm saying, at least in your senior staff. And I recommend that you do this unifiedly for your staff, 8-0, and follow the recommendations of your attorney and terminate Dawn Molinaro.
You know, I so appreciate what she said at the beginning. Like, I think Dawn was trying to do what was right. And I think that too. I do. I don't think Dawn was trying to do anything wrong. I think she was trying to do what was right. And again, I've had only good interactions with her, but, you know, based on the totality of the circumstances, I think she did some things she definitely should not have done. But I do think she, in her own mind, was convinced that what she was trying to do was right. Of course, it's always easier to kind of forgive people for stuff when you think they're trying to do the right thing. But, you know, Sandy Woodbury said, and Randy Jorgensen, the city manager, he comes in later and he's like, listen to your staff. Sandy, for goodness sakes, is saying, you know what I mean? Like, that's pretty bad. So in the end, they voted, and you had Mike Cusack wanted to just, you know, delay all of this. Gavin Hawthorne had wanted to put it on hold and temporarily suspend her until they could have a regular meeting where she was present, because she was not present due to a family emergency. And then Jeff Snow said, I moved to terminate her. They wound up having a vote. It was 5-3. Gavin Hawthorne switched his vote from last week when it was a 4-4 deadlock tie broken by the mayor, who voted to keep the city clerk. And so they voted 5-3. They terminated her, and that's it. All done. But for whatever, if there is a lawsuit or other complaint that come forward after this, we'll see. But for now, there will be more because we're just not done. That is your Days of Our Milton update. There's always stuff.
Whatever.
I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
It's a celebration! Join us for the Impact 100 20th Anniversary Celebration on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Brownsville Community Center. This event is a celebration to honor two decades of empowering women and transforming lives in our community. Presented by Kia Autosport and Sandy Sansing Dealerships. Limited tickets are available, so visit impact100pensacola.org to buy your ticket today.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator method of adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, Chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Some good grunge. 626 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Somebody texted in. Me. God, it's hotter than the devil's butt cheeks. God.
Whatever.
Oh, and it is too. Oh, somebody asked me, do I know anything about the Longleaf Bridge? Is it going to be open in time for school to start tomorrow?
What's that
for the
answer?
Public schools? The answer is we'll see. The ribbon cutting is still happening this morning at 8 a.m., but there's a note that not for the public. It's like for because there's some safety concerns. And my thought is, well, if there's still safety concerns, maybe it's not ready to. I don't know, but I will try to get. I'm going to try to know before tomorrow whether it's actually open or not. But I wouldn't expect it to be open. I know for a lot of people that are coming from the Palafox side, US 29 side, going to those schools, that's going to be a major inconvenience for you. I'm so sorry. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not much going on. Of course, you want to watch for your usual areas of congestion and, again, construction. I'm not showing any accidents right now. Looks like 98's clear. Not showing any problems on 10 or 1. And you see an accident or have a traffic tip, don't just think, whatever. Text it in. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you're if you haven't been to Pensacola Hardware, dude, do that. Go. Like, seriously, go. It's an amazing place. You just trust me. Trust
like
Candy.
It's like Disney World for my husband.
Yeah, like, people.
His grandpa took him there, and his dad, and
You know, I remember when my grandpa took me there, and then the kid's like, I remember when my dad took me there. Like, it's just kind of that sort of a place.
It's awesome, and it's not, like, old. Like, yeah, you know what I mean? You think it's going to be this old, dusty place, and it's like Disney World, and it's right downtown, and it's amazing.
And they have everything, and they have advice, and they have Yeti, like a whole I don't know, shrine of Yeti. Like, seriously, trust me.
I didn't
even
know they made ones like that.
Right, the variety, SEC merchandise and Weber grills and all this kind of stuff. So anyway, they've been around since 1851. They're the oldest business in the entire state of Florida. They know everything about hardware and repairs and codes and all of that kind of stuff. So just go. Just treat yourself one time and go. Right downtown, 20 East Gregory Street. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The judge presiding over Donald Trump's election interference case is now ordering lawyers from both sides to be in court on Friday to discuss restrictions on what former President Trump can say about the case. More Americans now reportedly dipping into their 401ks because of their financial situation.
That's according to Bank of America data. The number of those who did so during the second quarter spiked from the same time last year by 36%. Most cite inflation as the main reason. Bank of America's data also shows overall employee contributions remain consistent over the first half of the year. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And we've got an update on that Shakespeare situation in Hillsborough County yesterday.
Yeah.
So Florida officials are now saying that the works of William Shakespeare should not be removed from classrooms. School district officials in Hillsborough County yesterday had informed teachers Shakespeare would only be able to taught with excerpts, not the complete works. They were concerned it could violate state law.
So I read this story and I reread this story and I do not understand this story because, to my recollection, there's nothing in Shakespeare that would run afoul of the Parental Rights and Education Bill, but that was their argument is we're not sure, therefore we should teach excerpts of Shakespeare relevant plays and not the full reading of the entire plays, which of course you can't just read part of Shakespeare. That's ridiculous. But I couldn't figure out what their fact predicate was for making this claim, you know, which parts of Shakespeare involved. I don't know. I don't know what they're talking about, but apparently it's just this one county, and as you say, apparently it's not really an issue. We'll be back in just a minute.
Fox News. News. I'm Gianna Gelosi. Voters in Ohio rejected a bid to make it harder to amend the state constitution. It's a big win for abortion rights supporters who are bringing their own case to voters this November. A federal judge sets a hearing for Friday to decide on a proposed protection order against former President Donald Trump. Trump blasting the special prosecutor at a rally in New Hampshire yesterday.
They sued, and I have a guy, they call him Deranged Jack Smith. He's deranged.
One lucky lottery player is taking home $1.58 billion Mega Millions jackpot.
And tonight's winning numbers are 32, 19, 13, 33, 20, and the gold Mega Millions 14.
Did you catch that? That was John Crow on the Mega Millions official YouTube channel. A ticket was sold in Florida after 31 drawings. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31. News Radio 92.3, already pretty warm this morning. It's 82 in Pensacola. Heat index up to 100 degrees already today. A body found in Walton County has now been identified as a homeless woman from Indiana. The Walton County Sheriff's Office says the body of 41-year-old Renee Eggers was found in a wooded area. This was near the Okaloosa-Walton County line last week, and deputies say they believe that woman was homeless at the time she died. Her family has been notified, and right now, no word on the woman's cause of death. The incident still under investigation. Well, Pensacola police recently announced 4 arrests after a string of anti-Semitic vandalism incidents all across Pensacola. Well, now there are some concerns that a possible extremist group could be operating in the area. Channel 3 reporting that the letters RWB, potentially standing for Revolutionary White Brotherhood, have been graffitied in several locations across Pensacola. Organizers for the Central Gulf Coast Party for Socialism tell Channel 3 that a recent International Women's Day event was interrupted by a group of what they're calling Nazis, and there was a video shared by WEAR, which shows a group of protesters holding a modified state flag, doing a Nazi salute and shouting white power. Well, starting next month, non-residents in Gulf Breeze that go to Shoreline Park will have to pay for their parking.
We've already been requiring that you pay for the boat ramp, but because those boaters and everyone up there were parking everywhere, we're now looking at Shoreline Park South as that single destination place, and it will help us manage that capacity.
That's Sam Abel, Gulf Breeze City Manager, and she says that change will take effect next month. Not a big dollar amount expected. Parking will be free for the first half hour, then cost $1 per hour, up to $10 for a full day after that. It's going to be life in prison for a J-man that sexually assaulted an 8-year-old girl back in 2020. Michael Rasmussen was convicted and sentenced on the same day late last month. Prosecutors say the young girl had been left in Rasmussen's care while her mother was at work. He allegedly assaulted her after carrying her in from the car while she was sleeping. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office conducted that investigation. Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons says he was able to talk with State Attorney General Ashley Moody last week about the opioid epidemic. This is while Moody was here in Northwest Florida. The latest drug that's causing concern for the Sheriff's Office is a Narcan-resistant version of fentanyl that contains xylazine, or Trank, as it's known.
Yeah, the reason they call it Trank is because FDA approved it for veterinary use.
For horses.
And that's how strong this stuff is. And as you can imagine, it's not, certainly not for humans.
And Simmons says this can be so strong that just one pill is deadly. Last week, State AG Ashley Moody said that Northwest Florida has double the overdose deaths of any other part of the state. She says it's likely caused by the drugs flowing into the state through I-10. Work expected to start in the next couple months on reconfiguring Woodbine Road.
That will be a pretty good size project where there'll actually be a continuous right turn lane that merges into Highway 90 going west. So that's the design that we hope will keep the traffic moving at that intersection.
Santa Rosa County Administrator Devan Cook says there'll be 2 turn lanes that'll feed into Highway 90. One of those lanes won't require you to stop. The 2 lanes will also be extended further to the north. Work also being done in the Five Points area on the north side of Woodbine Road as well. And Cook says that they're in the final permitting process. Work expected to start in October or November. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. And Candy has a look at our traffic.
And taking a look around, not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like the 3 mile bridge, General Chappie James Bridge, doing just fine this morning. Everything flowing in both directions, just fine, not showing any accidents. Like I said, I-10, I-110, fine. 90 not showing anything wrong. If you see a traffic or you have a traffic tip, text it in, if you would, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Another hot day today with temperatures warming up near 95 degrees, feeling more like the triple digits with a 30% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 82. Heat continues for your Thursday with a high near 96, still feeling much warmer with a 20% chance of rain. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 82. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 83 in Pensacola, heat index up to 103 already, 83 in Gulf Breeze, and 78 in Milton. Your next news at 7, and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. Businesses picking up at one electric vehicle maker. That's Rivian, out with new quarterly results showing a narrower-than-expected loss. Rivian also says it will produce 52,000 vehicles this year, more than expected by analysts, and more than double its total last year. Rivian says it's still expecting to start turning a profit sometime next year. Shares are up 1% pre-market. It feels like we've heard this story all year long. Mortgage demand is down because mortgage rates are up. And that's the case again this week, as the rate on loans from the Federal Housing Administration climbed above 7% to their highest level since 2002. Those are loans favored by first-time or low-income borrowers because they offer low down payments. The Mortgage Bankers Association says demand fell 3% last week. On Wall Street, futures are higher as the market tries to bounce back from yesterday's losses. The major averages finished with declines of roughly 0.5%. That's Your Money Now.
So how are things?
Oh, great. Katie just bought herself a new bike with her own money.
What? My kids spend all their money on video games. How'd you get Katie to save?
Just a little education. Did you know China prioritizes teaching financial literacy starting in preschool?
That's so smart. American kids don't seem to hear a word about it in their classrooms. And I really can't teach it at home. They're being left behind.
Actually, we can help at home, thanks to the Sensibles.
The Sensibles?
Mm-hmm. They're a team of animated superheroes who help kids ages 6 to 12 to develop smart money habits in a fun way. Katie gets a Sensibles kit in the mail with a great DVD, a comic book, and other fun activities each month. She also gets access to an interactive website with a library of lessons, other fun activities, and lots more.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm signing my kids up today.
Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code SENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. Subscribe at bcs-kids.com. That's C-E-N-T. It's the sensible thing to do.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tee times at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
David Baer,
I'm here tonight to oppose this resolution. We brought it up at our April meeting, and we voted in support of the ordinance that you guys have already passed this evening, but we voted against this resolution. The reason we voted against the resolution is because it undermines the legislative intent. The legislature specifically said in the statute that created TDT, it enumerated exactly what is allowed by law to be spent. And if it's not enumerated, then it's unauthorized expenditures.
All right, there's a bit of a background to understanding what David Baer is talking about at the Escambia County Commission meeting. And it all has to do with him being the chair of the TDC, the Tourism Development Council, I think, or commission. I think it's council. Anyway, they're the ones who, you know, figure out all of the things surrounding the tourism development tax and make recommendations to the board about what to do with regards to policy regarding tourism. And, oh, my God, they had a meeting yesterday. I did not watch it yet, but I'm actually going to get into that level of government. I'm going to start watching the the TDT. I got no life. Anyway, so he was there to object to a plan because there was this big audit that came in and said the way you're doing your tourism stuff, your TDT use of money is not right. And they passed a change to fix all of the sort of minor things that need to be changed with that, and that's fine. But the big problem, big-ish, was that the money being used from the bed tax, that's what you hear it called, the TDT, the bed tax is when people stay in hotels on the beach, they pay an extra tax. Even hotels not on the on the beach. But anyway, they pay an extra tax, and that money is supposed to go for tourism development. The statute says specifically use it for these and these things. One of the common uses, for example, is advertising to try to draw people here to support tourism. But one of the things that it's been used for is things like mowing the grass out on Pensacola Beach and the medians, landscaping. The argument there is, hey, that's something we keep this amenity looking perfect all the time because it's a tourism dollars generator. And then, you know, tourists come here and don't just generate bed tax, but they generate sales tax, which is good for us because that provides your local option sales tax money, the base for infrastructure, and then we don't have to pay for it through ad valorem. Again, if you're just new to all this conversation, I'm trying to give you as much as you might need to make sense of it. Well, they also for marine resources, like the people who work on water quality and stuff, was being funded out of this. Again, the argument is, well, those folks are doing something related to the water. And since fishing and kayaking and boating are such a big part and swimming are such a big part of our economy, tourism wise, that's justified. Well, the audit said no. No, you can't use it for those things. There are specific uses that are primarily oriented around tourism. That's what David Baer's getting at. And anything else you're not allowed to use this way, so you have to change it. Well, then the solution that was proposed and not recommended by the TDC, but the solution that had been proposed by the Allison Rogers, the county attorney, and also Stephen Hall, Marine Resources, and they'd come forward and said, well, we could designate the waterways and the beaches as a nature center. And there is a provision within the ordinance about tourism that says if you have a nature center, and what you might like think of it about this is, let's say you have a Wounded Eagle Preserve, okay, and you designate that as a nature center because that's something people come from other places to go see. Therefore, even though it doesn't typically look like a tourism thing, it's something that would benefit tourism, and it's okay to spend money on that. Well, so the proposal was, let's work around the audit by designating the beaches and waterways, all of them, as a nature center. Therefore, it's okay to spend money on the marine resources people. Therefore, it's okay to spend money on the mowing of the grass and the median. And David Baer's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. You can't. It doesn't work that way. You can't just make this fabricated declaration, I'm saying it, not him, of calling it a nature center, and therefore it's all okay, because the primary purpose of these activities is always going to be public works and not, you know, tourism. You'd mow the grass anyway, is what he's arguing.
The landscaping, as an example, is not a primary purpose for tourism development. It may enhance the visitor's experience here, just like it does on Highway 29, just like it does up, you know, in Perdido Bay, anywhere. And so using that as an example, that is not the primary purpose.
And like, you know, maintaining the sidewalks, you'd be doing that anyway. Well, no, the tourists use those sidewalks. Painting the Circle K. Well, no, you could sort of theoretically, I mean, not quite, but it feels like this is definitely a workaround. This is a loophole they're trying to exploit. And he says this is undermining the legislative intent of the statute. And under this justification, you could basically make anything a legitimate expense. And you can't make anything a legitimate expense. Before I come back to this took some interesting turns, this conversation, by the way. I'll come back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I hate it when you do this. I'm like, come on with a David Bear. This is brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Look sharp. Sharp, shop smart, visit America's Best for a comprehensive eye exam, plus two pairs of glasses. That starts at just $79.95. Book an exam at americasbest.com. That's americasbest.com. And the roads are the best.com. Not showing any slowdowns right now. Looks like 98 is accident-free from Navarre into Pensacola. Not showing any problems. If you see an accident or a slowdown, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Look shop.
Look sharp. Smart shop. I know. Sharp, smart. I know. It's like, I'm That's from funny. Boston right now. Thanks. Hey. Sorry.
No, it's good. If you got an import, you got a Lexus, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a BMW, a Genesis, a Jaguar, these are cars you pay extra to get. You shouldn't have to pay extra to maintain. You might think, I got to go to the dealership. No, you don't. No, you don't. You don't have to go to the dealership. You can take those cars to Bobby Likas Auto Service right here. Save time, save money, get it done, you know, faster, obviously, than having to go all over creation and go to some dealership that might be in another state, for goodness sakes. Bobby Likas works on those all the time. No problem. Diesel engines, same thing. You might think that's a specialty item. You got to go to the dealership. You don't. They work on those all the time. That everybody does. They do. Your daily driver, your runaround, your domestic, whatever it is, it's not just imports and diesel engines, but anything, Bobby Likas will take care of you. The idea they want is come see them frequently for the little stuff so you can prevent the big stuff. Like you go to the doctor once a year to check up, go to Bobby Likas so they can do the checkup and make sure that you're avoiding the big catastrophe, which is the kind of thing that you want to avoid because, man, it's bad when it breaks down and you don't want to have that happen. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. The website is carclinicservice.com. Back to this conversation about whether to designate the beaches and waterways as a nature center. Lumen May jumps into all of this and is, you know, repeatedly offended at the idea that you would use money to make, for example, Pensacola Beach look awesome, and you wouldn't spend anything like that kind of money to make, for example, Warrenton or Brownsville look awesome.
The question becomes this. If we're going to call, you know, the beach or Perdido or whatever the destinations, you know, if we're saying that we're spending money because it's a tourist destination, people that I represent may not be going there. And so, I mean, proportionately, I'm not going to support taking more money out of the general fund proportionally to plant, and David Barron, I had this conversation, to plant palm trees and grass and give 3 days a week of mowing on the beach during the summer and give 1 day a month of mowing in my CRA. You know, that's just not going, I mean, that's not right. It's all citizens' money.
Yeah, but I don't think people are like flying here from Charlotte to go to Brownsville typically. Not as much as they're flying here to go to Perdido or they're going to, you know, Pensacola Beach, right? So, and 3 times a week, I don't think they're mowing the grass 3 times. That's just an exaggeration. But still, you know, his point is, you know, more money, more equity for my district. I'm not going to have a lot to say about that, but it's probably not going to be today to have this conversation because there's a very, very interesting, important conversation to have about that. But back to the point, Mike Kohler responds.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's not a lot of tourism going on in Warrenton Beach Haven either, so I understand that.
Right.
So I
but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't get the same TLC that every other area gets. I mean, we have to have equity and equality across the board.
Yeah, it does actually mean that. I mean, if it's not a tourism destination, then it because you're going to do basic public works, okay, everywhere. And then you're going to do extra in the places where you're making the bucks off. That's just good business, let alone what's justified by the ordinance. But then you have a different slice of this conversation that I thought was fascinating because Jeff Bergosh jumps in and says, you know, there's another beach.
The TDC, they make a valid point when it does look like we're trying to frustrate the statutory. When they say a nature center, I mean, you know, 99 people out of 100 are going to think a center is one thing if you try to expand it out. But more importantly now, you know, if we're using that money to cut the grass at Pensacola Beach, are we using the same amount to cut the grass and take care of the multi-use path in the other areas of Perdido Key? Because I don't see it happening out there. Are we spending, Wes, are we spending any of this money out in Perdido Key? And if not, why not?
Well, historically, we've not spent money to maintain walkways in Perdido Key.
Well, I mean, you know, Perdido Key needs a lot of work. I mean, it's a lot of folks out there feel like it's been neglected.
That's fair, since a lot of TDT money is generated on Perdido Key. He's not wrong. You know, I mean, he's clearly doing it thinking about the election upcoming and wanting to curry favor with the folks in Brito. But that's also what a politician is supposed to do, is represent their constituency's desires and demands. And he's not wrong. You know, if there's a lot of money being spent out on Pensacola Beach to make sure the tourists are happy, should there not also be a fair amount of money, or a fair share of that money, get spent out on Perdido Key to make sure that the tourists are happy? He's right about that.
I mean, if we're going to really narrow a nature center, I mean, out at Perdido Key, we've got the beach mouse, we've got protected species, we've got the turtles, we got the net. I mean, we've got a couple of very rustic, you know, beach access points with very little service, right? The trash cans are overflowing, trash all over the place. I mean, maybe if we really want to narrow it down, maybe we narrow it down to the public beach accesses of Perdido Key and put some money out
there. Oh, no, put some money out there.
Dude,
I mean, people want to come to your district and see the white beach mouse. I mean, they come to my district to see the black rats. So how do we justify it? I mean, go figure. I mean, yeah, I mean, so, I mean.
That's a race joke, by the way. Six. That's, you know, it's funny, but there you go. So Jeff Bergosh says, look, we need to get ours in Perdido. And Lumen is like, well, we need to get ours in Warrington. And the real question here, and I think the solution to all of this is going to center around, well, how much extra needs to be done above basic maintenance and, you know, landscaping and all of that? What needs to, and marine resources even, like water quality, to the extent that we're doing more for water quality because we have tourism and industry that's tourist related, then it would seem to be justified. But if we're just, you know, if we're just saying, well, somebody's got to pay for the water quality maintenance, oh, hey, well, let's use, then that's not justified. So if we're doing more, the marginal more makes sense. But just the basics, you know, like that's the whole thing about if you fund all of the lawn mowing out in Pensacola, it's probably not justified. And I appreciate it. Stephen Berry basically made that point, that it is the sort of surplus treatment that is the part that might legitimately be funded. But now you've got going to have this fight over trying to get money out for Perdido Key. To some degree, you're going to have the fight by Lumen May trying to get money into, you know, District 3, which isn't really a tourist destination at all. So they didn't make any decisions about this. They sent it over the TDC to make their, you know, to come up with their recommendation. Again, it was a two-hour meeting yesterday. I did not watch that. I plan to watch it today, and we'll see what they come back with. But what I like about this conversation is the point that we're just trying to comply with the statute properly, and let's just make sure we do that right. And in that, I think David Bayer's basically got the right of it, that this is an artificial workaround that is legally tortured in order to try to get a justification to keep spending money out of a fund that we really shouldn't be spending that money out of. It's going to have to come from somewhere else, or at least in part, it's going to have to come from somewhere else. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Springs.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
National average for a gallon of gas, 382. Florida average is 379, falling a penny a day or so. Mississippi, 331. California is 508. In Navarre, 352 east at the Walmart, 347 west at the Walmart, the neighborhood market. If you're the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, it's 343 at the Murphy, 359 cheapest in proper. 345 at the CEFCO in Milton, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy, 359 in Pace at the, I think that's the Circle K, is that what that one is? Yeah. Getting over into Pensacola on 9 Mile, you've got the Walmart has 339, 346 at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And coming in from the southwest side, 339 again at the old TNC, the gas and go on Navy. 656 News Radio 92.3 Candy's got traffic for you.
And good news is we're not showing any of these slowdowns or delays. Not yet. Anyway, this morning, it looks like 98 is accident-free from Navarre to Gulf Breeze into Pensacola, into Alabama. Not showing any problems there. Looks like the front gate at NAS doing okay. Langley, Tippin, not showing any issues. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. If you got any problems with your plumbing, leak, drip, weird sound in the wall when you flush the toilet or, you know, try to use the water, hey, those things don't get better. If it's the water pressure, the water temperature, those things don't get better on their own. So call Barberry Plumbing. They'll take care of it for you, 477-8782, flat rate pricing by the job, not by the hour, Barberry Plumbing. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's some new developments. I don't know if you've seen the viral video on this riverfront brawl in Montgomery, Alabama.
I have, sure enough.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. A massive brawl erupted. Apparently, it all started when workers from a city-owned riverboat crew tried to move a pontoon boat that was blocking them from docking.
That's right.
The incident escalated. More people joined in and attacked the employee. Apparently, the FBI is now involved in the investigation into this whole thing. And despite some reports, police are saying that there's no evidence that this was a racially motivated incident.
Well, let me tell you the one counter argument to that is in the recording of the video in the first minute when the captain of the pontoon boat or whatever, or the worker for the pond is getting is yelling back and forth with these people that are parked in his space, basically. And then they're all attacking each other. Somebody on the video yells out the N-word.
Right.
So does that mean it's the people who are fighting, or is that the bystanders or the friends of who join in? Well, not sure, but there's clearly race involved since it was definitely a black on white fight or a white on black fight, depending on which portion of the fight you want to look at.
Right. Well, that's what police are saying, is that they don't believe it was a racially motivated incident. But one suspect has turned himself in. Two others are expected to surrender later on today.
What about the chair guy? The guy was hitting this woman on the ground with a chair, and it was like a wrestling move. Like, it was bizarre, some of this stuff. Yes. And just,
yeah, but in wrestling, they're breakaway chairs.
They're fake chairs. Yeah, I mean, they're not.
It doesn't even hurt, right, Dave?
Probably hurts
well,
a little.
It depends.
Probably hurts a little.
That depends.
This story's crazy. I'm sorry, David. Were you done, or were you?
Well, I had one more. The Biden administration's restrictions on ghost guns are going to stay in place. Mm-hmm. An emergency ruling yesterday, the Supreme Court has now agreed that a lower court decision on invalidating ghost gun regulations should be put on pause while the administration appeals the decision. The case scheduled for oral arguments next month.
Yeah, the interesting piece here is you had Amy Coney Barrett and John Roberts sided with the liberals on this one to allow it to stay in place because of the argument that if the guns continue to get sold, the harm caused by them potentially continues to happen, and so they erred on the side of caution there. I don't know that I agree, but that's the argument. All right, will we have more arrests in Montgomery for future news, Candy?
No, I
definitely
hope
more
not.
Arrests. Will they designate it a nature center, the thing? Will they designate it?
No,
I don't think so. And are we done with the drama in Milton?
Yeah, no.
Never.
Not even today.
WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.